Hello, everybody. Could you please stand for the reading of the word? There are Bibles in the back. Today we are reading Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur on one another toward love and good deeds. For not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And I'm just going to pray quickly for the service. Lord Jesus, we just come before you. We just thank you for this day. Thank you for another Sunday to be gathered together. And I just pray that your blessing would be upon every single person in here, Father. I just pray for peace and protection and safety. And I just pray that you would bless the preaching and everyone who hears it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Harmony. Well, what an exciting day. Engagements and births and all kinds of other things. And it's good to celebrate together as the family of God and as the church of God, even as sometimes we're also mourning together and everything in between. But this is an exciting and historic week in the church, and I just want to kind of bring you up to speed on the amazing faith journey and God journey we've been on as a church. So back in 2017, our then staff and council all submitted their faith goals for the church through the year 2020, and we're going to be doing that again soon as we look to 2020 and beyond. And I wish I could kind of take you through all the goals for each year, because it's just amazing to see how God answered some of that faith and then some for each of those God-sized dreams and ideas. But I want to highlight this morning what our goals for 2019 were. And this just kind of makes me, sometimes when I think about it, weep. It makes me so overjoyed to think about. I'm so excited to be on this journey with God and what he's doing in this church in the Oceanside area. So our vision goal for 2019 was this: to have a fully functioning youth ministry and small groups throughout the area, and to go on a short-term missions trip. So this past Tuesday, this past week, we had our first official weekly youth group with full-time pastors overseeing it. And as you know, we have a short-term missions trip planned already for January to Thailand. And if you'd like more info, you can talk to Lydia about that. And then now today, we are officially launching small groups or life groups throughout the area as a church. And, you know, God is just so faithful. Right, when we listen to his voice, when we seek him, and then actually step out in faith and take risks and look beyond the natural, it's amazing what can happen. So you kind of have to understand that back then in 2017, when we made these goals and wrote these goals for kind of the youth ministry and for small groups throughout the area, it's hard to explain how crazy those goals were back then, 2.5 years ago. We were averaging just over 50 people on a Sunday at that time. Outside of our family, there was only one person under the age of 55 in the congregation. Our kids were the only kids. There were no youth. We were a small group, so we wouldn't have needed small groups. And we had zero or negative money in the bank as a church. And yet, here we are in 2019. So I share all this with you just so you know, this is not the launching of life groups this morning is not something we were just sitting around last month thinking, hey, we're kind of growing as a church, this would be a good idea, we should probably launch life groups. No, this moment is literally years in the making and is a part of this huge faith journey that God has had us on, that we've been working towards in faith. So because life groups are going to be an essential part of our church and its DNA and how we're going to accomplish our mission and our vision moving forward, we want to share with you what it's all about this morning. And it makes sense to dedicate one Sunday to something that's going to carry on for years or for decades, even if its form and shape changes as we continue to grow and change. So you can find a full description of life groups on our website. It's all there now. But I'll be kind of outlining the vision behind it this morning using the four rhythms of our life groups of upward, withward, inward, outward. But let's kind of just start with the first question. Well, why life groups? Why life groups at this point? Why did we set out this vision many years ago? Well, I mean, on a very practical level, just right now, we can just no longer care for one another well enough by just being committed to kind of Sunday mornings as a church. We've become a little bit too big for that. There was a time when every one of us pretty much knew how everybody else was doing in the church. We were able to care for one another well in that way. And that was great in a way, but the downside was we weren't reaching a lot of people and all the hurting people around us to find the hope and healing and forgiveness of Jesus. But this is the beauty of life groups, and it's why it's so healthy, is that when a church is kind of really small, you know, we can all kind of reasonably care for each other pretty well. But as a church grows, that no longer becomes possible, which is actually great in a way because it forces us all to figure out how to care well for one another and look to the Spirit to raise up more shepherds and people to care for God's growing flock. And so it's actually a healthier, more sustainable model that no one has to be unconnected or anonymous or uncared for unless they don't want to. And no matter the size of the church, really, this truth kind of never changes, that God has made us and designed us to need each other. And it's why as early as the first century in the first churches, the people needed to be reminded and instructed as they were in this text from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And then what does he say? What's kind of the connecting thought? Not giving up meeting together, that's not going to work, to spur one another on, as some are in the habit of doing. So this is a problem that goes back 2,000 years. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, talking about the return of the Lord. So life groups are really about this deep need for human relationships. And this need, according to the author of Hebrews here, becomes even more important as we see the day of the Lord's return approaching. For we need encouragement and strength from others, because how many know it's hard being a Christian out there on Vancouver Island? It's not easy. So life groups are about being in relationship, which is God's intention for human beings from the very beginning. In fact, we can literally go back to the very beginning. So if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God says, it is not good for the man, but the word here is actually ha-adam in Hebrew, and it's actually just a general term that refers to the human being. It's not actually gender-specific at this point. It's just the word that's used for the human being that God created. And God says it's not good for the human being to be alone. And this is not really about marriage in any way. I know it gets used like that all the time, but that wouldn't make any sense to call that not good, because Paul very specifically says in 1 Corinthians 7, actually it's better to be single if you think you can. You can be more effective for the Lord. So it doesn't jive with this being not good. But it's about needing each other and community, that we are meant to meet together and be in community. Our personal relationship with God, as awesome as that is, God actually describes it as not good and alone. So if you ever hear somebody say, hey, it's just kind of me and Jesus, that's all I need, actually God called that not good. It was just him and it was Adam, and God says, this is not good, you're alone. We need each other, thank God. Because God knows, as it is written in this verse from Hebrews 10, that we need help and encouragement from others in order to live a life of love and good deeds. The individual is not the best expression of the body of Christ, or really even an expression of it at all. So I don't want to get too theological here, but theologians often make the point about the Trinity that you can't define who Jesus is without referring to the Holy Spirit and to the Father. And you can't define the Holy Spirit without referencing Jesus and the Father. And you can't know who the Father is without understanding Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so it is with us. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are interdependent beings who are undefinable on their own. And so for us, there is no such thing being created in the image of God as an individual Christian. We can't be defined strictly on our own terms. I mean, we can try, but it's a sinful, individualistic way of thinking that is not fully human. We can understand who we are and our identity only in the context of community and relationship with each other. And so the question is, well, how do we be in relationship with people? What is the most effective way to spur one another on toward love and good deeds? Well, I think we obviously know that it entails more than just a kind of cursory, hey, how you doing on Sunday morning, right? As good as that is, and that's fine on Sunday morning, often it's all we have time for, but that's not going to spur us on toward loving good deeds. And I think we know intuitively that it also involves more than just spontaneously hanging out and socializing every once in a while, as good as that is as well. On the other hand, I would say it also involves more than just only praying and doing Bible study together all the time. Because true relationship is a holistic experience. It involves kind of all of this and more. So as a way to do this, to best spur each other on toward love and good deeds, we're following this rhythm of what we're saying upward, withward, inward, outward in our life groups, or as the cool kids are calling it already, I'm hearing it, it's all around, UEO. This is just what they came up with. It's really popular on social media already. UEO, upward, withward, all right, fine. It's not. I just made it up myself. You could think Utah, Washington, Idaho, Oregon, if you want to go with the Western states, underwater isolation observation, whatever you want to do is fine. Upward, withward, inward, outward. So the mission of our life groups is identical to Oceanside's mission, to engage the heart of God in holistic worship, that's the upward, to edify the people of God in biblical discipleship, that's the inward, and to embrace the mission of God in our community, that's the withward and the outward. And then likewise, the vision of life groups is the formation of holistic disciples who are fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus and fully alive with the Holy Spirit. So we want to encounter God through these rhythms of upward, withward, inward, outward. So let's kind of briefly discuss each of them before we kind of bring it all together. So the first rhythm is upward. So upward is all about the love and knowledge of God. And it's maybe what you think of first when you think of home groups, that it engages the study of Scripture through a thoughtful discussion of kind of the last month's messages that we've had here at the church. So it's important to kind of stay up to date with the church family and what we're doing here. And then there'll be about 4 to 6 questions to kind of help us discuss what the Lord's been teaching us through His Word, who He's calling us to be as a people. So this is great because, I mean, every week when I preach, and I think others feel this way too, I kind of feel sort of guilty that at the end there's no like Q&A time, there's no time for feedback or thoughts or whatever like that, because this is, you know, a learning community where we're all meant to learn from each other, even if some are called within the body specifically to be teachers. So this is a chance to engage the material on a deeper level, to pray through it together and have a chance just to overall discuss what is the Lord doing in this current season of teaching we're in as a church. And on this week's or other weeks, I mean, you might also do some worship and singing together and praying with one another and for our community and our world. The second rhythm corresponding to the second week is withward. So yeah, this is sort of a made-up word, but we didn't make it up. It's been used in these kinds of contexts. And the with word rhythm is about encouraging trust and love as a family. So each group gathers either by themselves or maybe with one or two other life groups for an evening of fellowship. So, I mean, this could be a picnic on the beach. This could be cooking and eating a meal together in a home. It could be a board game night. Could be a music jam session if your group can do that, or just whatever your imagination might inspire. So we believe that, you know, fellowship and fun and free play, and there's a big push right now in Christendom on a theology of play, this idea that this kind of freedom of play that God gives us. We believe that these things are important to the body of Christ and encourages communities, strong relationships to develop within the larger community. And then the third week then looks inward. So the inward rhythm is about loving one another. And it's sort of the natural outflow of the withward week, that as we become friends and learn to trust each other, well, now we begin to create a safe space and place where we can share our stories with each other and care for and pray for each other. So every month, someone in the group has the opportunity to tell their story in a safe and confidential space. And so since there's about 10 to 14 people in a group, and you might not meet in December or a couple of the summer months, you know, basically everybody shares about every year or so plus within the group. So it doesn't happen that often. It kind of rotates around. And on these nights, there's opportunity to share and talk about, you know, just our real struggles and our real hopes and what we're going through, and doing this in a space of prayer and encouragement where we joyfully invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us and among us. And then the last rhythm or last week of the month is outwards. And the outward rhythm is about encountering Jesus in the face of others around us. It engages our community through love and care for our neighbors. So again, one of the ways we build close bonds with each other is by serving together. And I know in my life, the people I share the closest bonds with are not just the people I kind of sat around and discussed people with or discussed things with. They're people I kind of rolled up my sleeves with and served and loved others with, who went to battle with me, so to speak, not just talked about the battle. And as much as I love all the people I've studied with over the year through university and grad school and now my doctorate program and the deep theological study conversations that we have kind of sitting around, and I love all that, but honestly, the people I'm closest with over the years are the people that I've served with side by side in the work of the gospel, right? It's those youth leaders who gave up their vacation time to come on a camping trip with youth to serve together young people, or stayed up all night through those all-nighters, you know, with me, serving young people in those days. Or it's those who, you know, I've served and loved others with in different ways. Those who maybe went on mission trips with or went on prayer walks with. There's just powerful bond in serving others together, looking beyond our own interests to the interest of others and something bigger than ourselves. So on this day or night, you might not meet on your regular day or in your regular space. And Lydia has a list of like 17 things and growing of what this can look like. And it can be as easy as, you know, serving with Manna Homeless Care Mobile in our parking lot Saturday mornings. And so for that month, you guys do that together as a life group. You could help an elderly neighbor or widow with yard work together. Choosing to come to a care home service together as a life group and serving as that, as your outward together. Having a neighborhood block party or barbecue and inviting your neighbors in to have fun with you. Adopting a section of beach or neighborhood to kind of pick up litter, or, you know, cut broom in bloom around here, or cut away that Himalayan blackberry and other invasive plants that, you know, caring for God's good creation together. Do a prayer walk somewhere together with outward-focused prayer. Go to Orca Place for the week and see how your group can help there in the supportive housing. Contact UCM at VIU. There's Dia over there. Hi, Dia. Contact UCM, the ministry at VIU, and see how you can serve them. Maybe show up with food for 100-plus students on Thursday night and just have fun serving the students there. And I know it's late, but I go once a semester, and I know I get up to speak around 8 o'clock, and I'm thinking I'm usually going to bed at this time or getting ready for bed, but you know, but we can do it once a year or so, go there and just hang out with some students for the evening. It'll be revitalizing for us. The Salvation Army Food Bank is desperate for soup kitchen and food bank volunteers right now, so go for 2 hours as a group together and volunteer there. I mean, we have all kinds of ideas, and as you gel together as a group, you'll come up with ideas yourselves, and you'll have a blast, because serving others together is fun. There's joy in it, and you get to know people in a way that you just wouldn't get to know them in only a Bible study context. So those are the four rhythms of our groups. And here's what we're trying to avoid, and the danger in life groups, and something I've seen happen way too many times, is we don't want to become insular groups turned inward on ourselves, where what we do never gets translated into actually going out and living the gospel. Because it's easy to sit around and talk about living the gospel, and it is important, but it's harder to go do it. And we need both. And there's an interdependence between theology and praxis. So I know I've mentioned this before, but I'll just mention it again because it probably didn't stick. It's what we call the hermeneutical circle. So our theology or our study of the Bible influences our living, our practice there. But then our practice, our living, influences our theology, how we understand and read the Bible. And it just kind of keeps going round and round. It's not a linear line from Bible application, Bible application. No, the application then comes back and informs as we live it out how we experience that. So we call it a hermeneutical, meaning interpretive circle that goes on. So our life groups are trying to follow that model of how it goes. I was trying to think of some illustrations to just kind of talk about how this goes. And the great theologian Miroslav Volf says that our theology is in jeopardy of being separated from loving and serving others if we don't have this element of also practice. And he says, when that happens, our faith can become like an idle faith. And his imagery is, he says, you know, we become like we spin, or like a tire spinning in one place, kind of stuck in, an icy spot. And those of us from the East Coast know what that's all about, right? We're just like, we're spinning and we're spinning and we're spinning, but we're not actually going anywhere, and we're not actually doing anything. I was trying to think of an illustration. I was thinking about something about being fed and overstuffed and then nowhere to go, and you just become kind of, but anyways, there was no traction with it and I couldn't get it, but you understand what I mean, that it's not kind of going anywhere. But then Lydia said, it's kind of like the Dead Sea. And so I went with her illustration. It was way better. Kind of like the Dead Sea, that there's water coming in, but the reason the Dead Sea is dead is there's no water going out, right? Most seas and lakes and everything have streams and tributaries and rivers going out and then bringing life to other places. But when you're only collecting, 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 and then there's no outlet, well, then we become dead. And so we don't want life groups to just be a place where we just collect, 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 collect. We also then want to be streams of living water that go out into our community and into our neighborhoods and into other places. So I admit it's a little bit more challenging of a structure than just getting together and doing the same thing every week. But we really believe strongly that it's more biblical understanding of what God is calling us to do. Another way to think about it is just we have to first learn God's story. That's the upward. If we're going to understand where our story fits in with God's story, that's the inward. And then we have to go out and live out that story, that's the withward and the outward, and participate with God and what he's doing. So let me just close with some very important kind of final thoughts or disclaimers, if you will. First disclaimer, these initial groups in the next couple months are sort of pilots. And as we experiment, we'll, of course, adjust as needed. It's not going to work perfectly right away, and that's okay, and we're all going to learn together. We also understand there's some areas in our community that have waiting lists for life groups where we kind of don't have a group or our group's already full in that area. And so we're seeking more hosts and more leaders, and I hope to take the current groups and even multiply them very soon, so don't get too comfortable in your groups there. Second disclaimer is that, of course, every group will take on its own personality, and that's perfectly okay. So they're not all going to look exactly the same. This rhythm is not meant to be restrictive. It's just meant to bring unity to the church of what we're doing, but not necessarily uniformity in what we're all doing. There's lots of freedom within each rhythm on what those nights and days will look like, and different groups will look a little bit different. And then the final disclaimer is kind of really the most important. I realized this morning I'm painting the ideal vision. I'm trying to capture your imagination for what these groups are all about. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy or it's going to work beautifully all the time. Why? Well, because in community, with real people, it's often messy and it's hard. And we need to learn how to love like a family through the good and through the bad. And the goal is not to find the group necessarily that best suits you or is the best fits or most comfortable for you. These are not best friend social clubs. These are experiments in growth in holiness, which is usually hard, a little bit awkward, but ultimately worth it. And I promise you, I mean, these groups will not meet all your needs and desires. That's not what they're set up to do. Each group hopefully contains a mix of ages and genders and spiritual maturity. So we want to be patient, kind, and hospitable to one another, showing each other grace and mercy. So I would manage your expectations. For some, it won't be as in-depth or structured as you would like. For some, it will feel too deep and too structured. We're all kind of coming from different places, and my hope for everyone is that in every group, there's someone, in a way, you kind of have a hard time getting along with. And with loving, because that's how we mature and grow and practice loving one another. And that comes straight from the words of Jesus. But it shouldn't surprise us if these groups are a bit messy, for after all, they're made up of people. And it's hard to enter into the mess of relationships and people's lives, but it's also a richer, deeper, more Christ-like way of living. I mean, of course, it's easier to just stay away and avoid the messiness of getting involved in people's lives and having people involved in yours and just do your own thing. Let me just leave you with the words of Jean Vanier, founder of the La Arche Communities, which I've mentioned before, I know, but it's just so rich and it's so beautiful and full of wisdom. And I see this play out all the time, whether in life groups or in the church in general, and it's just worth reading. He says, almost everyone finds their early days in a community ideal. It all seems perfect. They feel they are surrounded by saints, heroes, or at least the most exceptional people who are everything they want to be themselves. And then comes the letdown. The greater their idealization of the community at the start, the greater the disenchantment. But this is key, and this is where a lot of people stop. He says, if people manage to get through this second period, they come to a third phase, that of realism and true commitment. They no longer see other members of the community as saints or devils, but as people, each with a mixture of good and bad, darkness and light, each growing and each with their own hope. The community is neither heaven nor hell, but planted firmly on earth. And they are ready to walk in it and with it. They accept the community and the other members as they are. They are confident that together they can grow towards something more beautiful. So I'm excited for this next step as a church, because I know it would allow us to better obey Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider, that's what we've been doing this morning, let us consider, think deeply, how we may spur one another on toward loving good deeds. How can we do this? Well, verse 25, not by giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. So I'm going to invite all of our current life group leaders up, as well as the band, to come. And